Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Turn your Bible, if you have not already, to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to draw some thoughts, really keying in on one verse in particular, but verses around it are so good. I want to pick it up in its context, if you will. This is the Magna Carta, it has been called, the teachings of Christ, that talking about the Sermon on the Mount. What really laid his groundwork for his earthly ministry. And really a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, a lot of it is not new material. He'll say, as you have heard, he is bringing Old Testament teachings to the New Testament and then expounding on them. He talks about, for instance, in the 5th chapter, what about marriage and divorce? Well, that was an Old Testament. He brings an Old Testament thought to the New Testament. Smack dab in the middle is where we're at. Chapter 6 really has two main points, and the first one is prayer, and the second one is worry. And what I've noticed is if you're lacking on point number one, it seems like you do more of point number two. It seems like the less you have an active prayer life, the more you start to maybe worry about some other things. And so to me, it seems fitting then that Christ would first introduce prayer and doing good works. He begins talking about doing your charitable deeds. And he says, you do those in secret. You don't go out and say, look at me, I donated to this, I helped here. But you do it as a Christian, you do what you're supposed to, but you don't say, I want the glory. You want God to ultimately, in everything, receive the glory. I've always found that phrase there in verse number 3, when you do your alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Well, that's almost impossible. Christ is using a play on words, if you will. It's almost like you're serving in one hand and doing something completely different in the other, yet you're still working towards that ultimate goal. But then he starts talking about prayer in verse 5, and notice he says, and when you pray. It's not if. It's not perhaps you might be praying at some point. It's when. Dear friends, prayer, it rests the weary as we sing in the song, but prayer is a command. The Christian is to have an active and fruitful prayer life. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love to pray in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. He says, they have their reward. What's that reward? Well, they wanted to be seen and they were seen. But after that, they're not going to receive anything from it. They're just praying for a show. We're going to come back to verse 6. That's where we're going to draw the rest of our thoughts from. But in verse 7, he says, don't use vain repetitions. And I've been in classes where that has been posed. Is it okay for me to pray about the same thing, dear friends? The answer is yes. Go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says Jesus prayed the same prayer 3 times. If I can't repeat what I've said, then Jesus committed a sin. But Jesus did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. Dear friends, we can pray and pray for the same thing. Paul says 3 times I prayed that that thorn in my flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, was removed, and it wasn't. But he prayed, and he prayed and prayed again. How many times have we prayed for someone who is sick? And we don't just pray for them once, but every time we approach the Heavenly Father, we pray, and we pray, and we pray. See, there's a difference in repeating something and a vain repetition. Vain is empty. Christ says, don't be using empty words, for they, notice here, that do such, they think they'll be well commended because they've said a lot of words. Now, I have been in prayers, and I've wondered if they were almost doing a vain repetition. It's like they just threw every word that they could in that sentence. A good prayer can be short, dear friends. A good prayer can be long. A long prayer, there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to mean what you're saying, whether it's short or whether it's long. So then, he says, your Heavenly Father already knows what you're going to ask. He gives you an example, a template, if you will, the model prayer, which we could pray everything except for thy kingdom come, because the kingdom is here. That's the church, Acts 2. But then notice the kicker, verses 14 and 15. I've got to forgive to be forgiven. And if I don't forgive, he won't forgive me. Now go back to verse 6. I want us to spend the rest of our time. There are 5 P's about prayer. The 5 P's of prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Once again, let's read it. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And the easiest way to divide this honestly, dear friends, is to look at your punctuation. You know, commas break up a thought. Taught reading, it's sometimes when you orate or speaking publicly, you're almost supposed to pause every time you hit to a comma. Well, here we can pull a different point when we get to a comma. So, but thou, that's our command. Notice here, number one, there is a period. When you pray, period. Not if. I said that a moment ago. We'll say it again. This is not, if it happens to strike your fancy, if you've got an extra minute or two in the day, then you can pray. He says, you, when you pray, period. No questions, no can I pray, no should I pray. God wants to hear from His children. That is our lifeline to the Father. And dear friends, if we quit praying, we have dried up that lifeline. See, He speaks to us through His Word. So if you don't read that, you don't have access to that. And we talk to Him through prayer. So number one is period. You have to pray.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Number two, there's a place of prayer. Notice he says, enter into thy closet. Now he's not saying that you can't stand up in a public place like this and offer a prayer. In fact, prayer is an act of worship. And there's nothing wrong when we pray before a meal. And there's nothing wrong when we pray when we're in public, but there needs to be a place of prayer. You know, sometimes if you're an early morning riser, a fun time to pray is when the sun's coming up. That's a new day, and His blessings are new every morning, Lamentations 3. Maybe you're a night owl. Maybe when everybody else in the house is going to bed, you go out and look at the stars, or you find you a quiet place, and you pray. But dear friends, you want a healthy prayer life? Get you in a habit. Have a spot where you pray. And pray other places. I tell you, I like to pray while I'm driving. Sometimes I'm praying they don't hit me. But I like to pray while I'm driving, because then when I'm thinking about somebody, I'm already talking to the Father in prayer, and I just go ahead and mention their name. But there's got to be a place. Number three, notice this here. There's privacy. There is a benefit in privacy. Notice, he says, when you pray, enter into your closet. Number three, and when you have shut your door. There is benefit in a private prayer. As a person who is blessed with the ability to serve in the capacity of prayer before a congregation, just like Brother Gary did, and that was a wonderful prayer, he mentioned things in his public prayer that he would probably also mention in his private prayer, but I had prayed some very private things that I would not dare say from the pulpit, or I would not dare say it before we eat a meal together. That's private things between me and the Lord. Prayer for sins, maybe a very specific prayer for a loved one who maybe doesn't want all their story told in a public forum such as this. There is privacy in prayer, but there's also nothing wrong with telling somebody, I've prayed for you. In fact, I find it very encouraging. Hey, I know you're going through something. You don't have to tell me what it is, but I just want you to know I've been praying for you. There is privacy in prayer. Number three, there is a person. Notice here, when you pray, enter to your closet, you've shut your door. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret. He is the one that we pray to. Notice who he does not say. He does not say, pray to the Virgin Mary, although that's what our Catholic friends believe. He doesn't say, pray to Muhammad, because Muhammad is a couple hundred years from being born when Jesus says this. He doesn't say, pray to Buddha, to John Calvin, to John Wesley, any denominational figure. We pray to the Father. And that's a very simple concept, yet a lot of the religious world, they get it confused. They try to pray to Mary through somebody by doing this, by doing that. Dear friends, as Christians, we have the greatest advocate, Jesus Christ, pleading our cause. It's almost like we can just bend the ear of our Heavenly Father. We can speak to Him directly. How nice is it to be able to speak to Him directly? Back in the day, that you can't do it now. You dial the White House now, you go through a myriad of places. But they tell me President Rutherford B. Hayes personally answered the White House phone. And if you wanted to talk to the President, you dialed long distance, you dialed the White House, and the president picked up. You had a direct line. That's why we elect people. They can go and plead our case with the Heavenly Father. I'm not put on hold. I don't have to go through a myriad of people who are just going to pass me on. I can talk to Him. Pray to the Father. Then number five, there is a promise. Notice, He says, when you pray, enter your closet, your privacy, you shut your door, you pray to the Father, and thy Father, number five, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You ever stop to look around you to look at answered prayer? Maybe you're in a place in life that you prayed for years ago. You go, this is an answered prayer. Someone that you know and love has returned to the Lord or come to the Lord, and you go, this is an answered prayer. Now, sometimes I can't always peg what's an answered prayer. I get that. But there are times I go, this was prayed for, I know. Just think about it, dear friends. What you take for granted, there's somebody in the world that desperately wants. So don't take anything for granted. See, that's a promise. Your Heavenly Father, which sees in secret, will openly reward you. Well, why wouldn't you want to pray? You're praying to the One who spoke the world into existence by creating it. Just let there be light, and there was light. You can speak to Him in prayer. This lesson, I hope, serves to encourage you to pray more. And remember who you're praying to and why you're praying and what a blessing truly it is to speak to the Father. But He only hears the prayers of those who are faithful to Him. So if you're not a child of God, you need to become one by being immersed into Christ. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You go down that watery grave, come out a new creature, you're alive in Christ. And then you commune with the Father. You continue to walk in the Spirit. You walk in the light as He is in the light. And you have that avenue of prayer. If you're not a Christian, why not become one? Dear friends, if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, right after He says, walk in the light, 1 John 1:7 and verse 9, He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive them.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The only way one will be saved through Christ is to be obedient unto Christ. You see, God willingly gave and God willingly sent. So when I see the words of Christ of belief in John 8:24, repentance in Luke 13, and also when I look at confession in Matthew 10 and baptism in Mark 16 and 16, I want to believe in Christ and accept His will. Let's do that, shall we? Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. This has been 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. You know, the proverb writer has great wisdom when he says such words as, well, how about Proverbs 23:7? For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So as I think in my heart, that's the way I'm going to be, so I must keep my heart with all diligence. Sometimes we say, well, I feel it right here, and we touch our heart. But dear friends, if we're not putting in our heart the Word of God, we may be feeling the wrong thing. Let's pursue our studies of the Word of God and think on those things that should go in our hearts, for from the heart, we will obey. Join us at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. And as always, thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. You know, Psalm 33 in verse 9 summarizes through inspiration, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Oh, what a wonderful commentary on Genesis chapter 1. When you think about how active that our God was in Genesis 1, we see how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But note these, and God said, mentioned 9 times. 5 times, and God saw. 3 times, and God called. 3 times, and God made. 1 time we see the words, and God set. 3 times, and God created. 2 times, and God blessed. No doubt. God is in charge. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior. Have a good day.